In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. If you follow the Gospels that we have this Coptic month of Beba, they're all about miracles. Not all, not the one that I particularly just prayed now, but last week we meditated on the miracle of the healing of the man that was handicapped, who was let down through the roof. Next week, it's a miracle of one who was blind and mute and who was demon-possessed. The final week of the month, and 2 weeks from now, it's a miracle of raising the dead, the son of the widow of Nain. And so it would seem, at first sight, that the entire month is focused on showing us Christ, who is the miracle worker, Christ who comes and heals our infirmities, heal our different kinds of diseases, those that you can see, those that you can't see, and even those that kill the person, raising us from the dead. And so with all of this, it seems that the gospel today is a little bit, quote unquote, off topic. It seems that it's unrelated to healing, unrelated to miracles of health and sickness and raising from the dead. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to teach, first of all, and encountering Simon Peter. And yes, it involves a miracle. He got into the boat, told him to launch into the deep. And as a result, after toiling all night and not being able to catch any fish, because of Christ being in the boat with the disciples, things were very different this time. And the disciples, Simon Peter, was able to fish such a number of fish, such a large amount of fish, that he needed help from other boats. But the whole point of this is that the church is giving us this gospel to tell us that is the source, that is the beginning of the very, very beginnings of the community of disciples that would later become the church, and that this is the place where you can find true healing. It's almost as if the church is telling us this month, do you want to be healed of your sickness? Do you have spiritual problems that are keeping you from seeing God, from hearing God, the blind and the mute, who's demon possessed? Are there issues in your life that make you almost spiritually dead? You'll find all this healing in the church. You'll find all of this in the company of the church, and not just any church, the apostolic church, the church that was founded because of the encounter that just happened today between the Lord Jesus Christ and Simon Peter, who at this stage, early on in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, was only a fisherman, and one who had no idea who this person was that was a good teacher, but was about to find out a lot more about him. So we're taken aback, we're taken all the way back to the very beginnings, the very foundations of what would become the group of disciples, St. Peter, James, and John, the core of the disciples, and subsequently the seed of the entire church. The church is telling us, come, receive this healing. Come, you'll find it not in your own private life, not in your own private reading of the Bible in your own home, not in your own kind of rumination or on the internet or anything else, but you'll find it right here. That healing is from the disciples and from their disciples, the holy, one and only apostolic church. So the account begins after the Lord has taught the multitude for a while from the boat. He tells Simon Peter, launch out into the deep for a catch. He wants to take him through this process so that he would find fish in a sort of miraculous way, to realize that the person in front of him is not merely just a good teacher, someone with good ideas, someone with helpful teachings for the people, but someone who can defy the laws of physics almost. You know, people don't really understand how fishing works, but when you've labored all this long and you hear it in the words of Simon Peter himself, he says, we've labored all night and we've caught nothing. And now it's during the day, and during the heat of the day, and you're asking us to go out into the water. Supposedly, we're going to find the fish that we didn't find before. Launch out into the deep. And that is the first word that we hear that the Lord Jesus Christ tells Simon Peter in this gospel. Launching out into the deep is our own launch into the depth of the mystery of Christ, the depth of a relationship with Him and with His Holy Church. We all know from our daily experience, from our daily life, that things that are worthwhile to acquire always take a lot of effort to do so. Things that are easily acquired are often not worth having. Or when you lose them, you don't realize you lost them in the first place. We know this, for example, we labor hard at our work, at our places of work, at our occupations. Our sons and daughters labor hard in school to acquire degrees and to advance. They work hard in their sports. We have a lot of people here in church that are into sports, and they have to go to training and have to do things that are hard. And so we learn this from our life naturally, that if you want something, if you want to achieve something, you got to work hard for it. And that was this command, launch into the deep. Plenty of us come to church, and throughout our life in the church, week in and week out, we want to find in the church something that affirms who we already are. Somebody, for example, is social and they want to come to church and they rejoice because it's a community and they can hang out with people of like mind and share hobbies and ideas and things like that. Somebody else maybe are interested in the history of the church and they come and all they want to do is learn about this historic church that they have found out about on the internet or something like that. A lot of times we come to church and we are looking to be reaffirmed in who we already are. But oftentimes, that's the easy way. That's not launching into the deep. Launching into the deep is asking myself, what is it that I'm not? What is it that I should be? And how can I acquire that? And how can I participate in the church in a way that would be conducive, that I would become not more of what I already am, but become what I am not, the things that I lack. And so, for example, if you are know yourself to be impatient, you come to church and you apply yourself and you ask God to grant you patience, to teach you to become that which you are not, launching into the deep to become a patient person. If you know that you are lacking in compassion, you're lacking in sympathy, you're lacking in love, you're lacking in whatever it is that you're lacking, you come to church and you ask yourself, what can I do to become that which I am not? And that is launching into the deep with our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear then the response of Simon Peter, and he tells him two things. Lord, we've labored all night. We haven't caught any fish. But nevertheless, at your word, I will cast the net. Two things. It's almost as if all of humanity at that moment is subsumed in the person of Simon Peter and in his words to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of humanity has labored throughout the night of the Old Testament, the night of learning about God in only shadows and symbols, learning about God only through commandments and the obedience of laws and regulations without having a direct encounter with Him. All of humanity in that moment then is speaking through the words of Simon Peter and is saying, we have labored all night. We have worked hard all night. We have waited the entire night before the coming of the Lord, and we haven't found anything. It's unknown to him at the moment, but Simon Peter was then saying something like, the law of Moses only brought us so far. It taught us how to get into the boat. It taught us how to get out into the water. It taught us how to be out there looking for things. But to actually find it, that which we are looking for, we haven't been able to do that. And so humanity then was ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal himself, not simply as a miracle worker, not simply as a physician, not simply as someone who heals our sicknesses and raises us from the dead, but as the Son of God incarnate. The night is over, the day is now here, and although in from what I understand, in actual fishing, you don't really fish during the middle of the day, but in this particular case, it was more than appropriate, because the Son of Righteousness was here with us and made this possible through this encounter with Simon Peter. Although it didn't appeal to Simon Peter's professional experience as a fisherman, he was telling him essentially, we don't really go out in the middle of the day to fish in a boat. We do this in the night, and even that didn't work. It didn't appeal to his professional wisdom, but he obeyed nonetheless. And that is a very difficult lesson for all of us servants who belong to this apostolic church, that is not just a matter of formal succession from the apostles, but what it is that we can learn from the ministry of the apostles and from the very first day they encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. To trust, that is, not just in one's own skill, not just in one's own wisdom, own intelligence and experience, but to ultimately trust in God. God blesses all of these things. God doesn't tell you your experience, your intelligence, your skills, all the things that He has given you, He Himself has given you, are useless. But there is a certain trust on a certain level in these things that God gave you, that, you know, God blesses. And then there's a higher level of trusting in the Lord Himself directly, and realizing that at times our own intelligence fails us, our own wisdom fails us, our own experience fails us. And so then the blessed kind of response that comes from Simon Peter's mouth, and remember, I keep repeating this, he's Simon Peter because at that moment he was not yet the disciple. At that moment he had not yet spent a lot of time with the Lord and seen what He can do, or declared Him in front of the disciples, "You are Christ, the Son of God." It was just the very first moment that he encountered the Lord. And despite all of this, he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will obey. At your word, I will obey." And that's why it was blessed. He did what he did out of obedience. And you know the rest of the story. He caught so much fish that they had to call their partners, James and John, sons of Zebedee, to come and to help them with all the fish that they caught. The Lord wanted to take him through this process. Instead of simply telling him, "I am Christ, the Son of God," he took him through this practical lesson. If I tell you something and it doesn't make a lot of sense, and you, out of blessed obedience, go along with it, you will see the blessing of obedience. You'll see the blessing of listening to God's voice that is deep inside of us. What Simon Peter did after that was very profound. We often forget about it in sort of the excitement about the actual miracle that took place. But it says that he fell down on his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Today in the Catholic Epistle, we hear from St. James that the Lord gives grace to, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I've talked about this not too long ago with respect to the Feast of the Cross, and I made the point that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, in His coming to us, came all the way down and descended not just to our level of humanity, but at the end of His salvific work on the cross, He went down to Hades as well, going further than we even go. And then by doing that, going up again and raising us up with Him. And so then, a lot of what we do in our lives, in our spiritual lives of growth, is a matter of learning how to do exactly that. Going down to come back up again. Dying to rise up with Him again. The same Apostle Peter, at the end of the Gospel of John, after the crucifixion and the resurrection and so forth, something similar to this happens again, where the Lord Christ comes to them, they're at the lake, he's back to being a fisherman, and when he realizes that it's the Lord, he does something a little different. And it says he puts on his cloak and he jumps into the water. And it's funny if you think about it, because if I have in mind I'm gonna jump in the water, I'm not gonna put on clothes. I'm gonna take off clothes. But it's supposed to be kind of this image of baptism. You go into the water, you're baptized, and you are clothed with the garment of salvation after. So he does exactly that, perhaps in reverse order, but it's something similar that's supposed to convey for us this idea that this is now a new beginning. And seeing the Lord again face to face, but now in his glorified state after the resurrection, he does something similar, but not simply going down on his knees, jumping into the water. And so back to this gospel here, he fell down on his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." His falling down to his knees is, again, he doesn't know this at the time, but it's an imitation of his very Lord, who already came down to be on our level and will go down even further later on to descend into Hades. And of course, going down on one's knees is the very traditional gesture in our church, in our community, for repentance. And for him at that moment, it wasn't necessarily repentance in the sense of remorse or regret. It was repentance as, this is a new beginning. This is a change of direction. What I saw today in this person who I thought was a good teacher and perhaps a miracle worker shows me that he is much, much more. And because of that, I'm going down on my knees because I will get up again through his grace and be something completely different. And we learn from this because the Lord Jesus Christ then tells him immediately what that something different will be. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. What does it mean to catch men? Catching men then is all of us, all the children of the church. And so we're witnessing today in front of us the very beginnings of the community of intimate disciples of our Lord that would then become the seed of the whole church. And because of the obedience and the acknowledgement of unworthiness, I'm a sinful man, of this one person, this disciple, St. Peter, he then became not only just a disciple, he was one of the three intimate disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not just a disciple and apostle, but he became the traditional founder of two ancient apostolic churches, Antioch and Rome. Both of them consider St. Peter to be their founder. And all of this is why, because this simple fisherman had the sincerity, had the willingness and the openness to acknowledge his unworthiness, to acknowledge his sin before the Lord, and before that even to obey, even though it didn't make sense to him, even though it didn't make sense to his professional experience. And all of this, we are now the beneficiaries of this act of obedience. We're all the beneficiaries of this act of repentance and declaration of his unworthiness. Because what happens after that is the development of the church as we know it. First, the core group of disciples, then the 70 apostles, then the establishment of these churches, and throughout the world, all the saints, all the things that we benefit from in this holy church is because it began with one person being willing to acknowledge his unworthiness before the Lord, not hiding behind any kind of facade, not simply wanting to present a good image of himself to this charismatic teacher that he wants to impress, but willing to acknowledge his sin. And we too, when we come and stand before the Lord, we know that when we acknowledge our sin to him, when we acknowledge our unworthiness, it's not just of benefit to us on an individual level. But if all of us do that, it re-strengthens and fosters this bond that makes us all the body of Christ. And it becomes then of benefit and of blessing and of grace to the entire body of Christ, so that it is indeed the place where we can come and find healing, where we can come and, if we were mute before, we can speak of the glory of God. If we were blind before, then we can see God's work in our lives. And if we were even dead spiritually, we can rise again in this holy church that is one, only, holy, and apostolic. To him be glory now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.